Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska!
I don't know what we're yelling about!
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, May 24, 2022, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi. Day 492 of the Biden-Harris administration, 164 days until the 22 midterms. I'm on Instagram. My handle is TheBobSeska, and I'm on Twitter. My handle is BobSeska_go, and you can follow Buzz Burbank at Michael J. Elston on Twitter. Link in the description. Oh, look, there he is.
When you say bye.
What do you mean?
You've said it all.
No. A pox on your monkey.
Hi, hello.
Some troublemakers on stage. Hi, Bob. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
He, of course, is Bob. I'm Buzz. And this is our final season on Saturday Night Live. My God. We almost didn't get to do the show today. Yeah. Ginny Thomas kept pushing for an alternate slate of hosts.
She needs to shut the F up right now.
But this is our Bob Seska Show pledge to you. Mm-hmm. If you promise to listen, we'll buy you a horse. Elon Musk gave us that idea.
I know.
Here's how weird the news has gotten. Mm-hmm. Johnny Depp has just applied for membership in NATO. How does that even work?
What, is he in the news? I didn't know.
Also in the news, kind of forgotten already, scientists are excited about the recent discovery of a black hole in space. Mm-hmm. Because it turns out that's where all the baby formula went.
Hey!
Now, who's with me? Who's with me on this? I'm now rethinking my lifelong goal of getting a monkey. But if I understand the expert's advice, only worry about monkeypox if you start wearing a tuxedo while riding a tricycle. See your doctor.
Right. Would you like to buy a monkey?
And investors are concerned about Wall Street becoming a bear market.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not worried. If the market turns bear, I'm pretty sure Donald Trump Jr. will shoot it.
More fun, more music, the Bob Seska Show.
He's a sociopath. That a-hole.
Yeah. Don Jr.
Don Jr. Oh, yes, yes. That's
not me.
No, absolutely.
Some boys kiss me, some boys hug me. I think they're okay. If they don't show me test results, then I just walk away. They can't cough and they can't sneeze if they've been on a flight.
That's right.
'Cause the boy with the surgical mask because we are living in a bacterial world, and I am a bacterial girl. You know that we are living in a bacterial world, and I am not wishing to hurl.
Yep. Oh, that's just the monkeypox. Yeah. Rocky Mountain Mike, the great Rocky Mountain Mike. Mary Ann, yeah. Ann Arbor on vocals.
Great job.
Another classic right there. Yeah, yeah. I watched that George Carlin two-part documentary series on HBO. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And one of the main things that I love about it so much is it's so brutally honest about him. It's not one of these things that tries to, reinvent his legacy and try to paint him in as someone he wasn't. Hats off to Kelly Carlin for making it super real. But one of the things he mentions in that is it's from one of his stand-up acts, or maybe it was a Larry King appearance, either one. He's equally funny in both. But he was talking about how the environment is going to give us a series of viruses that are just going to wipe us out, shake us off like fleas on a dog. And he was exactly spot on.
You know, when we lose somebody talented, we often say, well, but we'll always have their work. With Carlin, it goes beyond that. Mm-hmm. We'll always have his truth.
Yeah.
He was so amazingly spot on. And
yes.
So careful in his choices of words that the wisdom of George Carlin, as well as the comedy of George Carlin, will live forever. Also, kudos to Kelly, his daughter, who helped produce the series, but who's also been on Twitter conversing with people, like a normal person, about their reactions and what they've seen and questions they have and that sort of thing, answering questions. It's been delightful to watch her handle this so adeptly. Kudos to her for both the series. I've only seen part one. I'm looking forward to it. I've been out of town. I'm trying to catch up on my viewing. I'm eager to see part two. And salute to everybody involved in the making of that. Seriously, Judd Apatow, who knows comedy. I've got at least a couple of his books on comedy. It's been something he's been interested in since before he was a teenager. He's a very good chronicler of these comedians.
Oh, hell yeah. His documentary series about Gary Shandling was as great as this George Carlin one. And we have lots more to say about George Carlin coming up in the Shadow Docket portion of the program on our Patreon page, because it segues with some things that are in the news having to do with punching down. And I've got a quote here, a bit of audio from George Carlin about punching down at underdogs. Mm-hmm. And I think it really speaks to modern comedy, even though it was recorded, coincidentally enough, on the Larry King Show back in the late 80s, early 90s. So we're going to get to that in the Shadow Docket. So make sure to subscribe for $5 a month, BobSeskaShow.com. Thank you in advance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, monkeypox. It's not really a thing, but it's kind of becoming a thing. It's not like COVID. It's not going to be deadly. It's not necessarily transmittable through the air, because what I read initially was the droplets are particularly heavy and they don't go, far like the COVID droplets. So you're not really in danger there, but apparently
skin to skin contact, sexual contact, obviously, but skin to skin contact. I don't think it's going to be serious. You know, not every virus that George Soros launches can be successful. So
I was going to say
we're hoping that this one is not as serious. I'm not really so much worried about that. We should all be very, very worried about COVID right now.
Yeah. Alex Jones, though, said that it's AstraZeneca and J&J, those COVID vaccines that are vectors that inject. This is what he said here. What is AstraZeneca and J&J? They're virus vectors that inject the genome of a chimpanzee into your cells. So he's already making shit up about that. And pretty soon he's probably going to go full homophobe, because there was a thing, I think, on Drudge, I want to say yesterday, talking about bisexual people and gay men in particular, and they're trying to turn this into, it's going to be the gays inflicting monkeypox on the world.
Would you like to buy a monkey?
So that's the latest thing from Alex Jones. Oh, and by the way, Alex Jones also said the globalists are putting a chemical in the liners of soft drink cans that are causing men's penises to shrink.
So I've noticed this.
Yeah. So if your dad had a certain length of penis, and then you probably have half that length. That's how Alex Jones figured it. So with each subsequent generation, the penis size shrinks by half.
End of the rape problem. End of the abortion problem. It's all taken care of. And the sad thing is, of course, that people continue to believe that stuff. And we're sort of helpless in arguing with. How do you argue with insanity?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing. The shirking of the vaccines and the way that it's happening, the shirking of the protocols, to me, is making us vulnerable, not just to the current COVID crisis, maybe not just to monkeypox or whatever's next, but it makes us vulnerable to anyone that wants to attack us with biological weapons that would deliberately put some of these viruses into circulation in the United States or wherever around the world, for that matter. And because we are so incapable of doing the right thing in the face of a pandemic, it makes it almost worthwhile for an enemy of the United States to attack us with a biological weapon, because they know it'll be effective, because at least half of the country will go, ah, fuck you with your viruses and your vaccines, right, and your masks, yeah, and we're done with that, and we don't care anymore, and it's COVID theater or whatever virus it is. Oh, it's more of that theater again.
Yeah, yeah. The deranged right wing is already saying, oh, this is just another COVID. You knew they were going to come along with this, blah,
yep,
blah, blah.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, it's a shame that the Tampa Bay Times, the Pulitzer Prize-winning Tampa Bay Times, doesn't print an issue on Tuesdays,
yeah,
or Mondays or Wednesdays or, excuse me, or Thursdays or Fridays or Saturdays. They do a Wednesday and Sunday edition, and, you know, otherwise you have to check them out online. I get an online update every day, and the major headline across the bottom half of the paper is it's time for everybody to wear masks indoors again. Florida and other states, it's everywhere, really. And the CDC itself isn't even listing. Where I am in Florida right now is considered by CDC numbers to be high risk, but officially the CDC says it's medium risk. So even the CDC is not being completely honest about what's going on here.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, we're going to see a lot more hospitalizations. Here we go again. We're up to over, 105,000 new infections reported every day. And as you pointed out before, Bob, how many infections are not being reported because of self-testing?
Quite a few. And so we're getting an undercount as far as the infection rate with COVID. But right now, we are pretty close to the same peak that we are at the top of the Delta wave. And there's no sign of this slowing down.
It's because, up by over 50% in the last month.
Yeah, it's just huge. Eric Topol tweeted the other day, the U.S. BA2, BA2.1.2.1. We got to come up with something shorter than that, by the way. That wave, with 146,000 new confirmed cases reported yesterday, is surpassing the peak of all prior waves except Omicron. And the reality is that there are more than 1 million infectees now per day due to home or no testing. Mm-hmm. So you may see 700,000 here or there, but it's actually over a million because people aren't reporting. And that's opening a discussion as to whether or not there should be mandatory reporting with home testing. Good luck getting that one implemented. I mean, we're so far outside the realm of responsibility here.
I believe me, I share this feeling with a lot of people, and that is it's hard not to feel hopeless about that and a number of other issues.
Talk about feeling hopeless is, I thought for sure that even if the CDC lifted its masking mandates, that some businesses with interest in keeping a healthy customer base would maintain some form of mask mandates as numbers rise, especially, you know, right here in our county, which is a pretty populated county in the Washington, D.C. Metroplex.
Yes, yes.
We're at that same stage now. We're getting really orange here as far as the alert colors go. And so, you know, you'd think in a place like this, there would be mask mandates at every grocery store, department store, et cetera. But no, absolutely not.
Everyone. Yeah, almost everyone is in denial. The Philadelphia public school system has reinstated their mask mandate in classrooms. But they're the only ones that I know of who've recognized the situation we're in. Everyone from the president on down, I'm sorry to say, seems to be in complete denial about what's happening out there.
And the president, I think, is going based on polling in a pretty tight election year. So he's being a little overly indulgent.
Yeah, walking a tightrope, indeed. I'm aware of that.
Yeah. Little bit frustrating because he's always been Captain Safety. Right. And now because of the Done With COVID movement. I think Done With COVID, I hope it's not this way, but I'm afraid that the phrase Done With COVID may end up being a chapter in history books.
Yeah.
Like, and then what happened? And then things turned horribly awry. Was it in the old Behind the Music specials on VH1? Everything was going great until so-and-so's tried heroin.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like, everything was going okay until Done With COVID, and then We became vulnerable to other viruses. We became vulnerable to biological attack because we just are incapable of doing the right thing to protect ourselves. And so, you know, things can very rapidly disintegrate from this point forward. Hey, I'm Captain Happy today. I'm Mr. Happy.
I know. Well, it's hard. It's hard. And we're going to look for bright spots today and hope that you go along with us on that journey. But undeniably, as we've said before, things are not good.
No.
Just to understate it.
You know, things are happening today in Georgia. It's a big primary election in the state of Georgia. A lot of attention being paid to that. We've got Stacey Abrams, who is running for the nomination. She's pretty much a shoo-in. Looks like Brian Kemp is going to completely annihilate David Perdue, but David Perdue is trying really hard to make up his deficit by bending over backwards to court the racist vote. And this is something that you know this as well as I do, Buzz, is that the Republicans are wrapping both arms and both legs and humping away at the leg of the racist vote and bringing a bunch of votes from people who just want to screw over black people and screw over women and all the rest of it. Well, David Perdue is doing exactly that. He's gone full racist. He said yesterday about Stacey Abrams, did you all see what Stacey said this weekend, Mr. Perdue said from his rally stage? She said that Georgia is the worst place in the country to live. Hey, she ain't from here. Let her go back to where she came from. She doesn't like it here.
And where have we heard that trope before?
Yes, we hear it all the time. This is as old as slavery, as the founding of the country. Well, if you don't like it, you don't like your slavery here, why don't you go back to Africa? What the fuck? On Monday, David Perdue also said, when she told black farmers, you don't need to be on the farm, and she told black workers in hospitality and all this, you don't need to be. She is demeaning her own race when it comes to that. I am really over this.
She's forgotten her place, Bob. That's what he's saying. She's forgotten her place.
Yeah, the word uppity comes to mind. He's like one, you know, one syllable away from saying uppity or just outright saying the N-word. Because that's, you know, that's maybe that's going to happen today. It's only a matter of time before these guys end up doing that. Not disguising everything in the word woke, not trying to use that.
That's where they are. That's what they do now.
Yeah. Well, yes, of course it is, because they had their CPAC convention. We've been talking for a while now about how CPAC was going to Hungary. And for a while there, it was like, do they do these once a month now? Is this like a monthly thing with CPAC?
Because nothing says America first like having your convention in Hungary.
I know. We got to help that economy in Budapest by bringing all kinds of tourism dollars. Oh, wait, Budapest isn't in America. What's going on here? So they did finally have their CPAC convention in Hungary.
God.
And as part of that, you know, the usual suspects all appeared, of course. Everyone from the Red Hat Entertainment Complex, Donald Trump, Tucker Carlson, they were all there. In addition to all of them, this other guy appeared. He's a Hungarian. He's immensely racist and anti-Semitic. His name is Zsolt Bear, which I wish, I know he's a racist, but I wish that was my name.
Yeah, it's like a comic book character, Zsolt Bear.
Zsolt Bear, yes. He's also the villain in the latest Marvel movie.
Exactly.
Yeah, he called Jews stinking excrement. He referred to Roma as animals, used racial epithets to describe black people, was a featured speaker at a major gathering of U.S. Republicans in Budapest over the weekend, and that would have been CPAC.
That's a match.
Yeah.
That's a match right there. I'm not sure how we, the slow
hand clap, for
pessimistic
CPAC.
Pessimistic clap,
Yeah.
I don't know how we fight that. I really don't. I mean, continue to get the word out, but, you know, that resonates with a lot of people.
Yep.
And that's true of so many of the battles that we have to fight right now.
Yeah, well, we have to make racism wrong again. I mean, on top of getting the word out about there being racism in the first place, we have to push back against this notion that it's fine, it's free speech. If you want to be racist,
let us
be
never
racist
forget.
Yeah.
And let us never forget that although that sentiment has obviously always been out there, Donald Trump set it free. Donald Trump opened the bottle and let it out.
Yes, he did. He made it okay to be right. your absolute worst self. And that's ultimately, I think, Donald Trump's legacy. He has enabled an entire population of Americans to just uncork every awful thing they think of. And they believe that when you say, oh, hang on a second, that's racist, they say, well, why are you trampling my free speech? Why are you telling me that I'm not allowed to speak in the land of the free and the home of the brave? That's ludicrous. I should be able to shout fire in a crowded theater. Yeah.
Because the rest of the citizenry is entitled to live in peace. That's why.
Exactly, exactly. Well, this guy, Zsolt Bear, is a television talk show host in Hungary.
Of course, what a shock. He is.
They have their own Red Hat Entertainment Complex in Hungary, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
He's been widely denounced for his racism during the 2020 Black Lives Matter protests. He wrote on his blog, quote, "Is this the future? Kissing the dirty boots of fucking N-words and smiling at them, being happy about this, because otherwise they'll kill you or beat you up?"
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's, you know, that's a sentiment I heard whispered when I was a kid, and it's still with us.
In 2011, he used the phrase stinking excrement to refer generically to Jews in England. And in 2013 wrote, quote, "A significant part of the Roma are unfit for coexistence." Back in the day, we used to call Romas gypsies. That's the that's the synonym. It's a derogatory synonym now, so the word Roma is a preferred nomenclature. "A significant part of the Roma are unfit for coexistence. They are not fit to live among people. These Roma are animals, and they behave like animals."
Well,
so
at least he used the right word.
Yes, and paid big money from CPAC to appear at their rally over the weekend in Hungary.
America first.
Right. Yeah. America first, America first, America first. American jobs. It's all about America, right? Unless it's about Hungary. God damn these people. So it's like there was a crazy person. There's a crazy person running for governor in Georgia.
Oh, yes.
And she had some things to say about the separation of church and state. Her name is Candace Taylor. Mm-hmm. She said there is no separation of church and state. And in this clip, we also get a bit of a bonus pro-choice confession. I love it when they do this, where they accidentally...
Self-inflicted wounds, yes.
They accidentally confess that they're pro-choice. Michelle Bachmann, "I support women's right to choose about their own health care." And then Sarah Palin has said similar things. And you catch it all the time where they're accidentally confessing that they're into the idea of choice. You know, oh, that was a decision and she made the right choice. Well, yeah, but that means you're pro-choice. Pro-choice. You can be, I've said it on the show before, you can be pro-choice and pro-life at the same time. You could abhor the idea of abortion and still be pro-choice and still say, well, you know, I think it's horrible, but if you want to have an abortion, that's fine. You are the one who will have to deal with that. I don't agree with it, but it makes total sense.
And they're connecting with their base when they do that. This is our concern. In fact, you mentioned clowns, I think. I tweeted yesterday that Ringling Brothers no longer employs them, but the Republican Party does. I was reading Rachel Bitticoffer, too, and she started out with what looked like it was going to be a grim string of tweets. She said flatly that Democrats are on track to lose the House and the Senate in this midterm election. And then she went on, fortunately, to talk about how that can, how she believes that can be prevented. She believes that we need to focus on the corruption, on the graft of these grifters in the Republican Party, that's a good way to go. Greg Sargent in the Washington Post wrote that he thinks we need to look forward, not talk about Donald Trump's big lie, but talk instead about, and this is so important, about the candidates for lieutenant governor and secretary of state across the country who are running for office with the intent of overturning future elections.
Yeah.
And so his point was, let's focus on the future so we can't be accused of focusing, of looking backwards. And that, and I think these pieces of advice make a certain amount of sense and give us some hope. I feel, and we've stated this before, I think our only hope is in that midterm election. It doesn't look good with inflation and gas prices.
Yeah.
But we've got to win it. You know why. I know why.
Yeah.
And we've got to focus on democracy, and we've got to focus on graft. We also have to talk about the economic issues and the fact that the Republicans have no plan. They grouse about inflation and gas prices, but they have no plan to fix it. That's what we need to be pointing out.
Yeah.
To warn people of who they're electing when they think they're going to the polls to throw out Democrats for the lousy inflation and gas prices. So there's some hope out there, but our only hope really is in this upcoming election. Doesn't look good right now, but there's still hope there. And that rides on our only other hope, which in my view is the January 6th hearings, of which we now know there will be six over mm-hmm. June and July.
Yes.
We just hope that somehow that breaks through and that it doesn't look partisan, and that it I know that the committee is going to focus on how to prevent this stuff in the future,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just hoping that, and I'm hearing that the hearings will be dramatic enough that they will have an impact. These are our only hopes, the hearings and the election, and we all need to be, everybody needs to get off their ass and work for this. And as I also said before, and I just I'll be done with this, but well, you know, I won't. But, it's not so much about, you know, we're not going to change any minds among Republican voters. We're just not.
No.
And the vast majority of them, 6 or 7 out of 10, are just nuts at this point.
Yeah.
So our only hope then is to get, because we've got the numbers, we just need to get Democratic asses and independent asses off their couches and to the polls and vote. And whatever you have to do as a listener of this show, as a participant in this show, to convince people to vote and to vote properly and why, we're screwed.
Yeah.
This is our only hope. So in the end, you know, you could bitch about the Democratic leadership and whatever you want, blah, blah, blah. It gets down to us. It gets down to, do we show up at the polls?
Yeah.
I saw a tweet from a black tweeter who wrote, give me 5 reasons blacks should vote in the upcoming election.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't play that game. He also posed the question, give me 5 promises that have been made to the black community that have been delivered by our elected Democratic leaders. Well, the answer to that question, which I didn't address, is that Republican obstructionism has kept those things from happening, not Democratic weakness. But instead of answering his question, I simply said, we're down to a choice between the party you think hasn't done enough for us and the party you know is intent on destroying us. It actually poses a threat to us.
Yeah.
There's a difference between somebody who maybe isn't doing as much as you'd like them to and somebody who actively wants to hurt you.
Yeah, and going back to what you were saying about Rachel Bitticoffer, Rachel Bitticoffer has presented this theory for several years now. In fact, mm-hmm, we've talked mm-hmm. about it with her at length on the Wednesday shows. She's into the concept of negative partisanship, where elections now aren't necessarily driven by swing voters. They're driven by the energy and turnout by people who want to punish the other party, who want the other party to lose. And so I think a lot of this midterm is going to hinge on who's got the more energized negative partisanship. Will it be the Democrats or will it be the Republicans? The conventional wisdom says the Republicans, but I'm not counting the Democrats out yet. And given the number of toss-up races, there are still lots of things on the table that we could, with enough energy, with enough negative partisanship, we can overcome. We can overcome that deficit.
Here's a bit of encouraging news. The Georgia primary you mentioned is today, along with 4 other states. In Georgia, early voting is up by 212% at last count.
Yeah.
That's a very good sign. We need to see that. If we keep seeing that, we've got a very real chance here. There are reasons, like that one, to be optimistic. But we can't back off the accelerator here. We've got to keep pounding on the fact that as much as Republicans bitch about inflation and gas prices, they have offered 0 solutions. 0. None. Nada.
No, absolutely not. And so what they have offered, though, is stripping rights from people that have been there for 50 years. I got into a little bit of a Twitter spat with Tom Nichols yesterday, which tends to happen. Tom and I, you know, agree on some things. We absolutely disagree on many things. We were talking about Stacey Abrams and this alleged gaffe regarding Georgia being the worst state in which to live. And he was saying, oh, this is an outright gaffe. I don't know why. All these Democrats are telling me it's not a gaffe, but it's totally a gaffe, and on and on and on about the fact that it was a gaffe. And my counterpoint to that was, gaffe or no gaffe, now's not the time for postmortem notes on what our candidates are doing and saying. What we need to do every time this comes up, every time there's an alleged gaffe and some Democrat says something that ultimately is completely inconsequential, what we need to do is ignore it and continue to attack the flanks. Continue to, you know, damn the torpedoes full speed ahead.
Don't let them get you off your agenda, which is
exactly
to get out these various truths. And, you know, Stacey Abrams' comment was, she did say that, but it was taken out of context. She said, in answer to the claim that Georgia was the best state for business, she say, was saying, that may be true, but it's also the worst place to live. And there are numbers to back that up. Not that any Republicans are interested, but maybe to get some Democrats off the couch and some independents off the couch, maybe we should talk about how Georgia ranks in education and health care, and the facts that back up her claim that maybe Georgia's not the best place to live.
Donald Trump has said on numerous occasions at his rallies, quote, "We are such a stupid country." This blanket statement. The United States is a stupid country.
Right.
And you can throw in fucking in there, because stupid fucking country, because that's what he's probably thinking if he hasn't said it already. But the fact that Donald Trump has said that numerous times makes it a non-scandal, because the press can't latch on to one particular thing. If it's one thing, then the press can grab onto that. But if you flood the zone, like Steve Bannon says, then you can get away with this shit. We're going to be talking about something similar when it comes to Raphael Warnock. But if Stacey Abrams had said that on numerous occasions, intermixed with other things that could be a little bit fringy too, then this wouldn't be a scandal. This wouldn't be discussed as, oh my God, Stacey Abrams made a gaffe yesterday. No one would be talking about that, because, again, the zone would be so flooded that the press, the people who usually nitpick this shit, wouldn't be able to latch on to any one thing, and then they would give up and think, okay, well, it's Chinatown, we're going home.
Where we are right now, Stacey Abrams connected with that comment, I would certainly think, with African-American voters and probably a large segment of white voters who would agree with Stacey Abrams that Georgia's not such a great place to live, to be a citizen, to be subject to some of what goes on there. And likewise, her opponent's comment connects with his base as well, because it and the Trump comment, this is such a stupid country. A lot of his base believes that same thing and admires the anger, admires the fact that he had the guts to come out and say that. So he's actually identifying with his voter base there.
Yeah, he very much is. And it's no different to me than, it's very different than Donald Trump standing up at his inauguration and saying that the United States is now succumbing to American carnage, whatever weird shit he said, whatever else weird shit he said.
Well, that was some weird shit.
Yeah, that's right. He said lots of weird shit.
I think what we sometimes forget is that although a lot of us progressives believe that democracy is in danger, so do the red hats in a different way. But both sides think this is a battle for the soul of America. They both view it that way. And so, again, a reminder, as I did last week, that that side is every bit as enthusiastic, if not more motivated, than the Democrats are. Yeah. That's why this is so, so, so important. I'll repeat again, everything, all the marbles hinge on this next election.
And you know what? You know why? Because what the Republicans plan to do is they plan to step into power in Congress in particular, if not more state legislatures, and that's almost a given. But what they intend to do is to seize this power through this election, and in some cases, in some states, by nefarious means based on big lie laws that have been passed in the last year. And then what they intend to do is to shut the door behind them and make it so that no one can remove them from power.
Right.
Whether by vote or whether by impeachment or fill in the blank, their intention is to change the system after they've acquired this additional level of power. so that they can never be usurped. They can never be removed. They want one party rule in perpetuity. And it's not going to matter whether that we hustle more and have bring more energy to an election, because what they intend to do is to nullify the idea of Democrats turning out to vote them out of office. What they want to do is make sure that they can stop that effort. And that's the real danger in all of this.
The challenge here is selling that idea, what you just said, selling that to the American voting public.
Because right.
I would suggest that a majority of Americans, regardless of their political stripe, think that sounds wildly conspiratorial. Mm-hmm. It sounds a little nuts. It's so inconceivable based on our history that a lot of people think that's an exaggerated and partisan claim. So that's a real challenge for us to overcome, to sell them on that idea. But it's true. It's would you rather have a party that maybe doesn't always live up to your expectations, or a party that is actively trying to hurt you?
Whatever anyone says to you, oh, that's crazy conspiracy talk. That's such extremist talk.
Right.
What do you mean? You mean the Republicans are fascists and they're going to shut the door of power behind them when they seize all of these offices and all these majorities? Right. All you got to do is point to the insurrection, point to the big lie laws that have been passed in the last year that makes it more difficult for the Democratic base to turn out the vote and to nullify their votes once they do. And so that's, to me, all the evidence you need of the Republican plan.
And maybe better still is to point out the future threat that holds, as Rachel Bitticoffer was saying, true. You know, focus on where, you know, what they plan to do next rather than to keep harping on what's happened before.
Sure.
And, you know, obviously we have to do that. We have to get it into the history books. The January 6th hearings will help. We're facing an uphill battle here and we need everybody involved. And what we don't need is all this negativity that we keep seeing on social media about, well, we're screwed. We don't have any chance. And, you know, with that attitude, you are, you've got to realize, you know, be realistic that this is a tough challenge, and that has to give you resolve to carry out what needs to be done.
Keep marching forward. It's like Rocky Balboa says. Life's all about how often you can get hit and keep moving forward. They keep
Rocky
hitting
the Flying Squirrel said the same thing. So.
That's what I thought. I thought he stole it from someplace. But the fact is that, you know, something like this happens. It's Stacey Abrams. They're saying, oh, Stacey Abrams made a gaffe, or Raphael Warnock did this thing with a dog. Well,
you're right.
You say, you know what?
I was just going to say, you're right when you say, don't argue with that. Exactly.
Yes,
said it again. You know, don't waste your time on that. Keep pounding away at what are the Republicans going to do about inflation? What, what does this Republican running for Secretary of State going to do to screw up the upcoming vote or to overturn the upcoming election?
Right.
And past evidence is evidence of their intentions, but their current comments are also evidence of their intentions. And people have to be warned about these things and be warned that the Republicans have no answers for inflation and gas prices. And that's still our biggest battle.
Well, if the pandemic was a disaster for your finances, you probably up the balances on your credit cards in that little gap there that we had called the COVID-19 pandemic. And if my guess is correct, you're paying the top allowable interest rate on that debt. So why not refinance your credit cards into a super low interest rate and save a ton of money every month? And here's exactly how. Get ready. With Lightstream, you can roll all your cards into one low payment at a fixed rate as low as 4.98% APR. With AutoPay and Excellent Credit. That's way lower than most credit cards. I'm sure it's lower than what you're paying now. It's probably around 19% APR. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are absolutely no fees. Zilch. But just for my listeners, you can apply now and get a special interest rate discount to save even more. And the only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Seska. That's LIGHTSTREAM.com/CESCA. That's my last name, don't you know? Link in the description under this episode at bobseska.com. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 4.98% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Seska for more information.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Bob Seska!
Like to buy a monkey?
I'm dancing. Every time you walk away, I'm just dancing like Ellen over here. This is the great Freak Bass. This is a remix of his single Runaway. This is the Steven Dusenberry remix. And I love it, I love it, I love it. We're a Freak Bass household here. Both Kimberly and I love Freak Bass.
I had the shoes with the big glass heels, you know, but the goldfish died.
You got to watch, if you're not already, you got to watch Freak Bass on Twitch. He's got a regular Twitch show. It's almost every day where he just jams. It's just Freak Bass in his Freak Bass lair. Just jamming away with all the greatest funk in the world, yeah.
With that kind of energy, I want to see him performing live. That's got to be a show, right?
Oh, God, yes. If you have a chance to see Freak Bass live, you are really damn lucky. I think he's touring right now, freakbass.com for tour dates. It's a hell of a show. He's an incredible showman, and the music is just, as you heard right there, just fucking incredible. Again, freakbass.com, link in the description, as always. BobSeska.com/music to submit. All right, so...
Is it time for the Bob Seska Show word of the day?
Yes!
There it is.
What's the word of the day?
It's the Bob Seska Show word of the day is barn dominiums. Barn dominiums is the word of the day.
Yeah.
I didn't even know this word, this product existed until I made my drive back through the South from my high school reunion. Uh-huh. I've never seen this word before. And so my wife's driving and I whip out the phone to look up barn dominiums because I see an ad. I see a business that sells barn dominiums. Yeah! And so here's what it is, kids. It's a house. It's like a prefab house made of money metal, and it's a barn. It's essentially a barn, and you live in the loft upstairs. That's your living quarters, and then downstairs, where there's normally a dirt floor, there'd be a multi-car garage and maybe your workshop or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's and they build these homes, these prefab homes, and sell them as barn dominiums.
Barn dominiums.
That's the word of the day.
And when someone say barn dominiums, wait a minute. No, there.
Yeah, you said it.
You got to cheer like that, just like
Pee Wee Herman. That's exactly right. Scream real loud, kids. Yes. Here's how it works. If I learn something new, I have to tell you, whether you care or not. Yeah. It's just my nature.
Here, I'll use it in a sentence. A year from now, Kimberly and I will probably be living in a barn dominium. It's not so fun. It's not that
I thought
fun.
I thought we just needed a little levity before we get back into the muck.
I appreciate it. Yes. Okay. So, speaking of someone who lives in a barn dominium, We started talking about her on the previous segment, but as we do, we kept talking about other things. And
it's
both of us, and that's okay because I'm in no hurry to get to Candace Taylor and no separation of church and state. And oh my God, Jesus guns babies. That's what it says on the side of her bus. And
I saw that.
As soon as I saw it, I thought, is guns a verb in that statement? That Jesus guns babies?
Doesn't sound like something he'd do.
Not in Jerusalem, not in his barn dominium. Okay, so Candace Taylor. Let's get this over with. This is Candace Taylor doing a stump speech in front of the sign that said Jesus guns babies. Which is my favorite 80s metal band, by the way.
Heroin did them in.
Yeah, totally. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. They had such promise in their first album or so. But then everything fell apart. Yeah. The 90s arrived. Here's Candace Taylor.
We are not ashamed. We're going to do a political rally, and we're going to honor Jesus. We're going to say his name. We're not going to compromise. We're going to have Pastor Todd Coconato that came up here and delivered an awesome word. And we're not going to be ashamed, and they're not going to tell us separation of church and state. We are the church, and we run the state.
That's judging by the states I drove through,
the
that's
church
true.
As a business doesn't get to monetarily control the government. I will never let that happen. There will no church in Georgia monetarily control the government. But we are the church, friends. It's us. We are the church, and it says of, by, and for the people. The church runs the state of Georgia. This state is sovereign. This is our state. We decide what happens. We decide if we kill babies.
Okay. All right. See, I wanted to get all the way to the end of that.
Sure.
Yeah. Not because I loved listening to it, but at the very end, she says something, we decide whether to kill babies. Well, that makes you pro-choice, Candace Taylor. I don't know if you realize that, but yeah, that would make it, because deciding suggests a choice in the matter, right? Mm-hmm. So you have decided to not kill the babies. Frankly, the other side has decided not to kill babies, too. We don't kill babies. We don't want the legalization of killing babies.
There are people who believe that. Bob, there's a woman who lives across the street from me who is a nurse. Not like an RN, but she's, one of the, I guess, lesser nurses. I hope I'm not insulting anyone, but she's not an RN. Just a nurse.
She's a lesser nurse.
And, I don't feel good about that, but here we are. At any rate, she believes that babies are aborted after they're born. We had questioning in Congress from some Republican a-hole who believed that babies were aborted in the birth canal.
No.
None of this happens. But again, let me remind everyone, their base, lots of very angry, motivated voters believe that and believe, and they're all about the Jesus and they're all about the church. And so they're on her bus. They're on her Jesus guns babies bus.
Yeah.
And that's what we're up against. And I just want everybody to remember that as our own motivation to crush them electorally.
Yes. That's one of the most pernicious and grievous lies in the history of American politics. The Democrats want to be able to legally murder birth babies. That is such nonsense hogwash. And it goes back to Ralph Northam. And I've reread that quote from Ralph Northam, the former Virginia governor, where he's talking about this bill that was going through the Virginia legislature about further empowering parents to decide what happens to their birthed children who are born with severe physical abnormalities, who won't live very long.
Right.
What kind of say do the parents have in order to allow that child to pass peacefully, without pain, without having to be forced into going through all kinds of extreme medical solutions that may cause more pain and harm to the baby.
Right.
And that's what the whole thing was about. Donald Trump took that and said, oh, look, the Democrats want to murder babies. In fact, at one of his rallies, we talked about this a couple of Thursdays ago, I believe, he said the governor of Virginia executed a baby. Donald, that's an exact quote.
I remember.
The governor of Virginia executed a baby. Remember that whole thing he said?
Yes, I do.
I don't remember it because he never said that.
I remember Trump saying this. Yeah.
Not that he wanted to kill a baby. Donald Trump actually accused him of executing a baby.
Personally, yes.
Yes, personally.
Hands on.
With his bare hands.
That's the kind of governor he was.
Yeah, yeah. That never fucking happened.
No.
In fact, there are no abortions in the third trimester other than to save the life of the mother, or if there is a stillbirth, some extreme medical emergency that calls for it. But, you know, the Republicans, they live in a different universe, a different world of truth and lies than we do.
Right, and there's no changing their minds.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
We can only use that to motivate people to vote, to crush them. You can't change their minds, you can crush them electorally.
Well, the same thing goes with their attack against the LGBTQ community, especially trans people, the Don't Say Gay bill in Florida and so on.
They're getting really comfortable with that too.
Yeah, yeah, but what we're rapidly discovering is that the Republicans are really the party of the sexual abuse. Users. They're the sexual assault party, and we've been finding more and more examples as time goes on. I mean, going back 15 years, Cliff Schechter used to cover this crap on, I believe it was the Young Turks. And so this is not something new, but as this attack continues in places like Florida and so on, as they continue to demonize the LGBTQ community, these examples become more and more glaring. The so-called Southern Baptist Convention leaders covered up sex abuse. This is a new article from the Washington Post. This was out 2 days ago. This investigation found that for almost two decades, survivors of abuse and other concerned Southern Baptists have been contacting the Southern Baptist Convention's administrative arm to report alleged child molesters and other accused abusers who were in the pulpit or employed as church staff members. Many of these cases referred to in the report were considered outside the statute of limitations, the time survivors can report sex abuse, so it's unclear how many abusers were criminally charged. The report, compiled by an organization called Guidepost Solutions at the request of Southern Baptists, states that abuse survivors' calls and emails were, quote, only to be met time and time again with resistance, stonewalling, and even outright hostility by leaders who were concerned more with protecting the institution from liability than from protecting Southern Baptists from further abuse. There is your moral majority. There is your Republican Party.
That's the religious right that cheers on this candidate with the Jesus Guns Babies bus.
Yeah.
You know, they're completely on board with her, and they believe Jesus is on their side, and that's good enough for them.
Yep.
That's what we're up against. That's what we have to crush at the polls.
Absolutely. And, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of sleuthing. It doesn't take a whole lot of detective skills to weed out these people. There's example after example. It's not a week goes by that we're not talking about another Republican who is accused of sexual abuse, molestation, all the rest of it.
We know of over 800 current and recent cases of Republicans charged with sex abuse or reported for sex abuse.
Yeah.
We have, that's the difference. You know, when they, and you notice they made the accusation first, it's we're the ones who have the documentation for whatever good it does us, and hopefully it does us good with motivating fellow Democrats and independents.
Yes. Well, at the same time, we got to make a big fucking deal over the fact that Raphael Warnock posed for a campaign photo with a beagle that's not his beagle. It's like, oh, yeah, he borrowed this dog. And now there's a big scandal about this. Warnock's got a dog that's not his dog. And as I was saying before, my contention is that if Warnock had posed with 1,000 dogs that weren't his, this wouldn't be a story. Again, it's the flooding the zone thing that he got wrong. If you're going to do something like this, you got to go big. You got to do it a bunch of times because then the press can't cover it. But if you do it one time, it's inflated to the size of a scandal that we're seeing, like the Southern Baptists, for example. Same size. It's like what I was saying before the 2020 election. You take one thing that Elizabeth Warren wrote on an application at one point about her ethnic background.
and use it to destroy her.
Yeah, but that one thing gets inflated to the same magnitude as the thousands of Trump things. That's the problem, because then the press has this mandate to equally cover the things.
So we need to screw up in a way that doesn't stand out so much.
Yeah, if you're going to screw up, Donald Trump has taught us, screw up big, and they won't be able to handle it.
This is so typically out of context and so unfair. So I run into Reverend Warnock while he's out on the campaign trail.
Yeah.
And I say, Reverend, we posed with my dog. And he says, sure. And I take a picture and he puts it on social media. This is what we're condemning him for.
You know,
and because I supported him, I got him in trouble. I didn't mean to do that to my senator.
It's so lopsided, the vast amount of attention that something so minor gets. Well, Stacey Abrams saying one thing about the state of Georgia, again, that gets amplified 1,000% to the same level as the gazillion things that David Perdue has said, or the gazillion things that Brian Kemp has done, going back to 2018, for God's sake. So
there's a lesson. There's a lesson in this, and I've said it before, and I know Rachel Bitticoffer tweeted it again this week, that one of our problems, one of our mistakes in messaging is we're too erudite. We're too smart for the average voter. She's saying Democrats, Democratic activists, need to realize that the American voter is not informed, that the American voter is not particularly intelligent.
Yeah.
And that's why Republicans are connecting so well. They keep it simple. They can make it as outrageous as they want. They can build on it. They certainly do repeat it over and over. We can learn from what they do, not with lies like they tell, but with the truth.
Yeah.
We have to keep it simple and understand who we're talking to. Mm-hmm. And deal. I don't mean to talk down, but it's true. I mean, all you have to do is look at the election results to know that it's true.
Oh, yeah. You're not. You don't need to convince me. I'm feeling so cynical and disillusioned right now about my fellow American voter and just the rank dumbness. Because you know a lot of people are going to walk into the voting booth. And I mean, when I say a lot, I mean, like millions. They're walking into the voting booth or get their at-home ballot, what have you. And what they're going to do is go, Democrats are in charge now. It's the Republicans' turn. Republican, on down the ballot. Without realizing any of the shit that we're talking about. And that's the thing that I think we often lose sight of is we live in this universe, whether it's on Twitter, whether it's in the world of podcasting or even the press, where we've got our faces pressed up against our computer screens around the clock. We're absorbing all of this information. In a lot of cases, especially Buzz and I, we're repeating this information all the time and reframing the information. We know exactly what's going on from top to bottom. Most people, and you see them when you're out in traffic, driving to the grocery store or whatever, you see people just doing their daily thing, doing that thing down there, going round and around doing that thing. and they have no connection to a lot of these details. So what breaks through? And usually, you know, you get an ignorant voter going to a voting booth and going, yes, it is the Republicans' turn because we like to take turns in this country. So Republicans, straight Republican ticket on my ballot. No, please. That's why it's so important for those of us to get the word out, whether it's on Twitter, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's at the water cooler at work. It's so crucial to state exactly what's going on and to have just the right salient points to make.
You know, if water cooler stuff, if you run into somebody, anybody, anywhere who says, these gas prices suck, we got to get rid of Biden. Ask them, okay, what's the Republican plan for that? What do they plan to do? Well, they'll do it a lot better than Biden. No, but what do they, what's their proposal? We know what Biden's proposals are, and he's enacted some of them. What are the Republicans proposing that would make that better? We just have to challenge skeptical, and I'm even talking about Democrats here who feel this way.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important that we do all this recruiting of Democrats and independents.
I strongly recommend listening to Mary Trump's podcast. When you're done listening to this podcast, make sure you finish listening to this show before you
horse. If you finish listening, you can get a horse.
I thought it was a free barn dominium. First month's rent is free.
But if you had one, you could put your horse in it. There you go.
So Mary Trump's podcast, when you're done listening to this one, you can go over to Mary Trump's house and listen to her podcast. She talked to Lawrence O'Donnell, I believe it was last week, and Lawrence O'Donnell had a great point about inflation. He said, well, you hear from someone who says, Joe Biden's not doing anything about inflation. Well, what does the president do about inflation? What exactly does the president have at his disposal? What levers of power does the president have to be able to fix inflation? What is it? And I assure you, and Lawrence O'Donnell was asking this question in the context of the White House press corps. Ask someone in the White House press corps, what can the president do about the inflation problem? They won't be able to answer that question. So instead, what they do is they just lay it at his feet. And then that's how politics in this country gets so derailed. You know?
We didn't have inflation when Trump was president.
No, but you know what we had? We had a gigantic economic collapse. We are losing jobs by the millions. Even prior to COVID, there was a manufacturing recession that no one seems to want to talk about. The guy who wants to build things, well, there was a manufacturing recession on his watch, and that was
caused
one that we
dip
just
in building.
Yeah, well, that was another one.
Caused by a dip.
Yeah, that was exactly. But that was another one that we just watched the pitch sail on by. We just said, that one's good. I guess we're not going to talk about that. We because there are other things. I guess.
Yes, that's another sin on our part. We let things go too easily. We have to keep on them. The Republicans do it, and look at the success they've had with that. We can learn from that sort of thing. We don't have to be the liars they are. We don't have to stoop to their level, but we do have to learn simple, repeated messaging.
I've got three more Republican scandals for your list. I got.
Do we have time?
Yeah, I got you. Herschel Walker. I got you, Congressman Loudermilk, Barry Loudermilk.
Yeah,
and I got you, Donald Trump here.
Oh, you've chosen the cream of the crop, Bum.
Yes, I've saved the best for last. So, three more Republican scandals still to come on today's show. But first, unlike some podcasts, we have a couple of commercial breaks on our shows. But here's the best way to listen to The Bob Seska Show without all of those commercials. Just go right now to our Patreon page at BobSeskaShow.com. Scroll down to the link for the ultimate edition of this podcast and sign up for just $15 per month. You go, oh my God, Bob, $15 is a lot of money. Well, here's what you get in exchange for your generous support. We're going to give you a completely commercial-free version of this show, of the Thursday show as well, and we're going to give you the Shadow Docket show, and that's going to be included as part of the audio file, so you can get this one mega show. We call it the Ultimate Edition, the free show plus the Shadow Docket, just as it's recorded.
And a horse.
And no commercials. Oh, and a barn dominium. But wait, there's still more things. You also get the Friday After Party podcast with me and Kimberly Johnson included in that level of support. So again, you get a commercial-free version of the Tuesday and Thursday shows. You get the Shadow Dockets on Tuesday and Thursday. Plus, you get the Friday After Party. Plus, you get access to the Patreon app. All that for just $15 per month. Again, that's BobSeskaShow.com. Bookmark it. Send it to all your friends. And we thank you.
Bob Seska plays more music.
The light that I found tonight. Could it be that it comes from inside? We'll all turn around. And I have a light here inside, here inside. Always run.
This is brand new to the show. This is Ethereal Wreckage. It's the name of the project. Song called Step Behind.
Thank you.
I got a link in the description under this episode at BobSeska.com to support Ethereal Wreckage.
Yeah.
Wonderful group. The, yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful
that's project. Just the serenity I needed to hear. Oh, and I hear a little saxophone in there.
Oh, yeah.
I always like that.
Yeah, I love this. Yeah, and lots more to listen to over at their website. Again, link in the description for Ethereal Wreckage. and this new single called Step Behind. BobSesga.com/music to submit. I almost said.
What?
This is Tuesday, Bob. I almost said monkeypox.com/music.
Oh, I wonder if someone has that. Well, they will by the end of the show.
I don't know, but it's a good question to ask, just like if you have a monkey.
Would you like to buy a monkey?
Would you like to buy a monkey?
Thanks, Dave.
Okay. What were you talking? Oh, yeah, Republican scandals. I got several Republican scandals for you. I got your Republican scandals right here.
Three good ones. Three good ones.
Herschel Walker has, among many things, Herschel Walker, gigantic fraud. No wonder he's pals with Donald Trump. He's
brain damaged.
Just as much of a fraud as Donald Trump. Herschel Walker has apparently overstated his role in a mental health program that preyed on veterans while defrauding the government. Another classy Republican here.
And dripping with irony.
Yes. I wonder how many people... Yeah. Wonder how many people
his football injuries. I'm sorry.
That's right. I wonder how many people in the press are ruminating over this Herschel Walker scandal and not the Stacey Abrams thing or the Warnock thing or any of the bullshit things. This is a guy.
Herschel Walker is expected to win today's Republican primary.
Unfucking believable, you know. And it's also because of the thing that I was saying. It's the Republicans' turn. Click, 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 click on down the ballot. Herschel Walker, the football legend and leading Republican Senate candidate in Georgia, often boasts of his work helping service members and veterans struggling with mental health. But in interviews with and campaign appearances, the former Dallas Cowboy and Heisman Trophy winner takes credit for founding, co-founding, and sometimes operating a program called Patriot Support. The program, he says, has taken him to military bases all over the world. But corporate documents, court records, and Senate disclosures reviewed by the Associated Press tell a more complicated story. Together, they present a portrait of a celebrity spokesman who overstated his role in a for-profit program that is alleged to have preyed upon veterans and service members while defrauding the government. The revelation marks the latest example of a far more complex reality that lies beneath the carefully curated autobiography Walker has pitched to voters. So there you go. He's screwing over veterans. He's screwing over governments. Must be a Republican, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, unfortunately, the fact that he's a fraud doesn't disqualify someone from being in government, but
that's
it
true.
Does in politics. But the fact that he is... I believe brain damaged from his football days and other dust ups we should not have someone like that in an office of that import.
Well, it's the swamp. It's more of the swamp. The swamp, the great irony of Donald Trump's, one of Donald Trump's things, the swamp, is that Donald Trump is the swamp. The people around him are the swamp. They are more corrupt than anyone we've seen in American politics since the Nixon administration. I mean, it is a colossal amount of corruption. Donald Trump himself is Captain Corruption. He is nothing but corrupt. His whole world is corruption. And you see it now with his copycats. You see it now with this level of projection that is happening about whatever. And they desperately want everyone to go run over and say, oh, my God, Raphael Warnock posed with a dog that he borrowed for this photo.
That's a big deal. They make that, as Bob has said, they make that just as big a deal as any Herschel Walker scandal would be.
That's exactly
and the fact
right.
That, the fact that Herschel Walker, as Bob pointed out, has multiple such things, and Warnock has this one little tiny thing with a dog, that somehow those are equal.
Right.
That's the insanity we're fighting. That's the insanity we got to crush.
Well, meantime, Barry Loudermilk has a scandal of his own right now.
He's a peach as well.
Very linked to the insurrectionists. The accusation basically is that he hosted some insurrectionists the day before the insurrection and gave them a tour of the Capitol building and then has lied about it. The Daily Dot obtained a radio interview from January 6th, 2021 from WBHF in Cartersville, Georgia. Did you ever work down there, Buzz?
Never made it to Cartersville.
Yes, I'm surprised I didn't, given the trajectory of my radio career. But WBHF in Cartersville, Georgia. Barry Loudermilk says about a dozen people were present in his congressional office in Washington, D.C. the day before the Capitol riot. But yesterday, this is the new revelation. There's a radio interview where he says, oh, yeah, I have a bunch of people there in my office. But yesterday, Loudermilk said in a statement that a constituent family visited him the day before the Capitol riot. That is an updated version of a previous statement by Republicans on the Committee on House Administration, which Loudermilk is a member of, that originally stated there were no tours, no large groups, no one with MAGA hats on given by him or other Republicans in advance of the Capitol riot. So he says this, and then this tape of this radio show comes out in which he confesses to hosting insurrectionists before the insurrection.
And he has co-conspirators, Republicans in Congress. I don't know how many or which names, but a set of Republicans in Congress conducted their own little investigation, they said, of this, that they'd gone over all of the security tapes. And there were no one in red hats. There was nobody in MAGA caps on this tour. And so, you know, nothing to see here. And, of course, this clown denies that he gave any tour, only to confess publicly later that he did, in fact, lead a tour, and that, yes, some members of that sweet family that he was touring and their friends were wearing red caps.
Yeah.
So he has lied about everything from the very beginning. We need to hammer on that. January 6th committee may make a little show out of him because this is the confession they've been waiting for now that he's admitted to giving this tour to people in red caps in the Capitol, all of which, every detail of which about he lied.
And by the way, the red hats are not Mandalorians. They're not committed to an oath that they always have to wear their red hats. They always have to wear their helmets. They don't always have to wear them. Yeah.
It's voluntary. It's absolutely a show of respect, I guess.
That's right. But in the interview, given as the riot was winding down, Loudermilk made it clear that he met with people who were planning to protest on January 6th and that he discussed how they wanted to be in the crowd that day to protest the results of the 2020 election. But then later on, he says, oh, it's just a family stopped by, some constituents. Yeah. They wanted
sweet
to have
a little family. The kids were there. It was fine. It was nothing. When he had previously said there was no such tour.
Right.
So, he just keeps trying. It's the most pathetic attempt at lying I think I've ever seen, and he deserves every bit of hay that we can make about that in political ads and certainly in the January 6th hearings.
That's right. Gary Loudermilk, like all the other 435 members of the House of Representatives up for re-election this year, have to bear that in mind. Reward your Democrats who voted for everything that you've wanted this year and passed it. And then make sure to vote against these goddamn Republicans, especially Barry Loudermilk. Meantime, Donald Trump finally paid that $110,000 contempt fine. But he remains under contempt orders, which means that he's got a certain period of time in which to hand over the documents that Letitia James wants. And if he doesn't do that, then the judge is going to re-implement the, what is it, $1,000 a day? $10,000? I think it's $10,000.
Is it $10,000 a day?
$10,000 a day fine, something like that. And that will be reimposed if Donald Trump doesn't cooperate.
And among the things, I don't know how much the public knows about this, but among the things he has failed to turn over as ordered by the court are at least a couple of cell phones that he says he lost.
Yes, he lost. Yeah.
Because, he's got nobody looking after him. So he's supposedly, he's going to claim probably that they went into the black hole, I think is where he's going to claim the phones went. But and if in fact those phones were destroyed, he can't turn them over to the court. And he's either going to have to keep paying those fines or admit that they were destroyed.
He lost the phones the same way they lose phones in Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. They snap them in half and throw them away. They're called burner phones. Mm-hmm. And you're supposed to throw them away. You're supposed to lose them because they have evidence on them. If you're using your own phone, they can be traced. They can be eavesdropped upon. So you use a burner phone and then you get rid of it. That's why he lost them. That's what he's talking. When Donald Trump says, I lost the phones, what he means is they were burner phones and I threw them away or had someone throw them away for me. He's given us no reason to give him the benefit of the doubt. We should assume that whatever he says is some element of his criminality. And that's the way I'm operating here.
The court has shown extreme patience with this, but the court is also intent that he comply. And when he admits that he cannot comply because of another criminal act, they've got him there, or they've got him if he continues to fail to comply. So
that's right.
Sit back and watch the fun, but don't sit back too much. Work on your fellow voters.
Has anyone else made the connection between I lost the phones and the fact that he deliberately lost the phones? It's like, if you were to say, those important notes from that meeting, I accidentally swallowed them.
Right.
Would people just go, oh, yeah, Trump swallowed the notes?
My dog. Instead of saying,
he deliberately destroyed the notes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to either produce the notes or confess to that.
Yes, yes. Or else, you know what, if he ends up losing his fortune and the Trump organization is shut down, he may have to go into, rather than investing in high rises and golf courses, he may have to start investing in barn dominiums.
Yes. There you go.
Thank you.
He's not going to get another reality show, I'm pretty sure of that.
No. Barn dominiums sounds like the mullet of housing. To me.
You're welcome. That's very good. You're welcome, by the way, for me bringing that to you.
I appreciate it so much. It's put a big smile on my face, and I'm not even sure why. I just, you know what? I just like
because
saying...
Because we needed it.
Yes. I just like saying barn dominium.
Exactly. Yeah. Who doesn't?
All right. Well, lots more show to come on the Shadow Docket. If you're only listening to this free portion of the show, you're missing like a whole third of the show today. You're missing Act 3. Like, you wouldn't watch all the episodes of Better Call Saul and then just skip the last one of this week.
Oh,
no.
This is what I did.
Yeah. Oh, my God, that episode. I'm so shaken from last night's Better Call Saul. Holy fucking shit. But seriously, I mean, if you listen to just this part of the show and you miss the Shadow Docket, you're missing a whole lot. So go to BobSeskaShow.com, scroll on down to the $5 a month tier, and sign up for the Shadow Docket shows. Plus, you get access to the app and you get access to the comments under each episode and all that fun stuff. Plus, you keep up to date on the show's proceedings. It's easier to contact me and get in touch with me through the Patreon page and all that fun stuff. So, we're going to talk about George Carlin. We're going to talk about Rick Scott. We're going to talk about Tucker Carlson, Hunter Biden, and a whole lot more. That's coming up next. Again, BobSeskaShow.com. $5 a month gets you the Shadow Docket Show. And we shall see you over there. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.
Barn Dominium.